Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, those who are familiar with the verse can chant after me. Shunvatam Sukata Krishna. Punya Shavana Kirtanaha. Vidyantaksto Hyabhadrani. Vidunoti Suritsatam. So this is Sudha Goswami speaking to the sages in Naimasharanya, and he's answering their first question, what is that dharma by which the soul can be completely satisfied? And these are the conclusion of his answer to that question. So he says, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or Super Soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Next verse. Nashtaprayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. And I'm going to read this little purport here. Srila Prabhupada says, here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles on the path of self-realization. The remedy is association of the Bhagavats. There are two types of Bhagavats, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavats are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he, Narada, also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of food left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality, Narada. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavats. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that one becomes fixed in devotional service to the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. And I'm just going to read the next three verses or so, which complete the little lesson from Sutta Goswami. So he says next, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the person whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self, the master. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Krishna, personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this series of verses began with a discussion of what real dharma is. This was the question of the sages. What is that activity or dharma that can be practiced by everyone, even in this age of Kali, that can completely satisfy the self? And the answer was Savai Pungsang Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Hokshaje Ahoitukya Padayata Yatma Supasidati. That is real dharma, or supreme dharma, which gives rise to devotional service to an Hokshaja, or Krishna. Thank you. And such service must be unmotivated by any material motivation and must be uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. And then he goes into a discussion of what the results of that dharma are in engaging in it. One gains causeless detachment from the world and real knowledge of oneself and the absolute truth in this world. And one attains, naturally one attains mukti. This liberation doesn't have to be endeavored for separately by the aspiring transcendentalist. He also defines what the absolute truth is. This famous threefold definition of Brahman, Bhagavan, and Paramatma. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan is explained there in this section. And that the absolute is perceived as one of those according to one's means of approach. And by unalloyed devotional service to Bhagavan, one attains knowledge of these subordinate realities of Paramatma and Brahman. So then he goes on to explain, well, how can one practice this devotional service? One needs to attain faith. One has to attain faith in the process, and one has to attain an attraction for hearing about Krishna. This is the key. Right at the beginning, he says, if whatever one does doesn't evoke more and more attraction to hearing about Krishna, and that includes hearing the holy name and chanting the holy name, certainly, then it is simply shrama evahi kevalam. We know what that means. A lot of labor for nothing. There's no real fruit to it. So the question is posed then, how does one attain attraction for the messages of Vasudeva Krishna? And the answer is, Shushusho Shabadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Dishevana. That's the previous verse from the one we started with. By serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So it all comes down again to association. To get the association of, as Prabhupada explains, Bhagavat, a pure devotee of Krishna, whose life and soul is service, is glorification of the Lord. And hearing and serving, by that service, which includes hearing, the first service is hearing. We shouldn't think that by sitting in Bhagavatam class, we're waiting and then we have some service to do. That sitting in Bhagavatam class is the most important service. And chanting Hare Krishna, both in kirtan and in japa, is the most important service. Because you're hearing about Krishna, and you're hearing the pure messages of Krishna. So that is service. That is the first service. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. Those nine processes begin with hearing. Without hearing, there's no real chance of progressing in devotional service. Prabhu, can we just ask the boy not to point the feet at the deities? Sorry. So, one serves the Mahatma, the Bhagavat, the pure devotee, then that affinity for hearing comes. And on the basis of that, then Krishna purifies the heart. That's what the first verse is all about. So, all of us here have a connection with the greatest Mahabhagavat of recent times, and certainly Srila Prabhupada. This book is by Srila Prabhupada. This temple was inspired by him. He came and spread the holy name. He's the founder acharya, as we say, of this whole ISKCON movement. And he was the pioneer who spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world, the process of devotional service, in truth, as it is, all over the world. And certainly, we can contact Srila Prabhupada. We all have that opportunity to attain affinity for the messages of Godhead by service to Srila Prabhupada. By reading his books, that is service. By working in his society, that is service. Participating in this wonderful installation ceremony is all service to Srila Prabhupada. This is a temple in his institution. It's following his morning program. It's reading his books. It has the larger mission of spreading devotional service and the personal mission of each one of us advancing in devotional service. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So that should increase our desire to hear about Krishna. And I can see by his wonderful kirtans and by the devotees that that desire is there. But the idea is to increase it more and more. Now the results of that hearing from the pure devotee is that Krishna himself in the heart, he purifies. This first verse is very wonderful because Krishna is always eager for us to advance in devotional service. I was thinking this morning, you know how it is when you chant your rounds, so many thoughts come in? Sometimes they really have nothing to do with Krishna, but oftentimes they're just ideas that bubble up. And I was thinking because I somehow this other verse was coming into my mind about that Uddhava spoke in the third canto about the mercy of Krishna. Who could be more merciful than Krishna? So this is a verse, it has a nice kind of pedigree or history to it. You know, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we find that Sukadeva Goswami, he took birth after, what is it, 13 years? He didn't want to come out and get entangled. He was already self-realized in the womb, right? So Krishna came from Dwarka in order to convince him to come out, that you won't get entangled. So he came out of the womb, immediately took sannyas. So I don't know if he ever wore clothes. I don't think he ever wore clothes. So he's walking in the forest. This is counted right here in the first part of the Bhagavatam. And Vyasadeva is running after him because he wants to speak the Bhagavatam to him. He wants to impart the Bhagavatam, which is his final book, his most important. But he didn't turn around, and he walked into the forest, and he was merged in, you know, into the forest. So how to get him back? This doesn't appear in the Bhagavatam. How to attract him to hear the Bhagavatam? So Vyasadeva would send some of his disciples out into the forest and chant nectar verses to try to, you know, catch Sukadeva's attention so he would come back. And one of the nectar verses is about the mercy of Krishna. And it has to do with Putana. Aho bhagiyam stanaka lakutam jigangsiyapya yirapya sadvi lebe gatim dashi ushitam tatonyam kumbadayalam sharanam vrajema. So Uddhava is saying here, early on in the Bhagavatam, how wonderful it is. Whenever you see this word, a whole, is an expression of wonder. How wonderful Krishna is. That even though this witch, Putana, came, who was certainly Asadvi, was an evil personality, her whole mission in life was to kill children. What could be worse than that? So she came and she was deputed by Kamsa in order to try to kill Krishna. Shape-shifting, right? She was able to become beautiful, like goddess of fortune. Beautiful. She just walked right in to the Krishna's house and sat down and began suckling him. So this is described in the verse. Even though she came with this terrible poison smeared on her breast to kill Krishna, Krishna, of course, killed her, as we know, but he awarded her a position of a nurse in the spiritual world. He took the act of nursing and forgot about the part where she was trying to kill him, purified her of all that evil intent, and she became Yashoda's associate in the spiritual world, nursing Krishna when she was busy with something else. So therefore he says, who could there be that I should take shelter of who is more merciful than Krishna? And I was thinking in terms of ourselves. First I was thinking how, you know, Krishna is the best friend, right? Or what is the real intimate friend? Someone whom you can tell your deepest, darkest secrets to, and he still remains your friend. He still likes you, right? You can trust them that bond is so strong that they won't be disgusted with you, and they'll understand, you know, your inner mood. So Krishna knows everything about us. We cannot keep any secrets. Everything he knows, not just this life, but previous lives. All the nonsense we've done, all of the sins, all of the enmity toward him, you know, because that's really what it boils down to. And yet, when we turn to him, even now, with a little sincerity, a little concentration, he's always ready there to respond to us, to shower his blessings upon us. Who could there be who's a better friend than Krishna? And we should feel like that. Krishna, so many times, he says he's the best friend. Suridam sarva bhutana, gyatva mam shantam richati. So, Krishna's the best friend, he says, Surit Satam, he says, Vidunoti Suritsatam. He's the friend of everyone, but especially of the devotees. We can feel that friendship when we're sincere, the truthful devotee. So he's cleansing away. What is he cleansing? The lust, the anger, the greed, the effects of the lower modes of nature. But then, and then it says, Nasta Prayasha Bhadrishu, when these impurities, anartas, are almost cleansed away, not completely, Prayeshu, one Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by constant service of Bhagavan and the servant of Bhagavan. You cannot eliminate that servant of Bhagavan, because we're in this state. This is the first step in devotion. Adau Gurvashriyam. You must feel that connection to Krishna through an intimate associate of Krishna. So, and Krishna responds to that. Then one becomes Naishtiki, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. This Naishtiki platform is the same as Nishta, in that ladder from faith to love, beginning with Shraddha, that's described by Rupa Goswami. So when the anartas are almost completely, but not completely, almost completely eliminated, then one becomes fixed in devotion. And at that stage, the lower modes of nature are transcended. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalobadayasthaye. That means we're no longer bothered by the vagas, by the pushings of lust and anger. You know, which anger, if you allow yourself to surrender to anger, then you get out of control. You know, anger can overwhelm you. And so that you do things that you would never do in your ordinary consciousness. Anger is very dangerous, as is lust. They work together. Lust and anger, lust transforms into anger. So here it says, kama, loba, etc. are conquered. And stitam sattva-prasiddhati, one is fixed in the mode of goodness, and even beginning to edge toward pure goodness. And prasiddhati, one becomes peaceful and happy. And in that state, prasanna manaso. Prasanna has two basic meanings. One is Prabhupada gave very joyful, because naturally the soul is full of ananda. Right? Anandamayo Vyasat. This is Krishna's nature, according to Vedanta Sutra. We're part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we also have that as our inner nature, naturally blissful. And prasanna also means very clear. There's this word in English called pellucid. Lucid means clear, and pellucid means completely clear. The mind is clear and peaceful and joyful in this state through Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata, the practice of devotional service to Krishna. It's all based on hearing. Srinvatam Sakata Krishna. Hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting. And then vigyan. Bhagavat Tattva Vigyana. That this word, vigyan, comes up again and again. Means realized knowledge. This is the knowledge that no one can make you doubt. It's the knowledge that's like a hand in front of your face. It's direct perception. Vigyan. Gyan is... We know about Krishna. We know that we're soul. We know the Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we haven't realized it yet in the neophyte stage. Here is a realized state. Mukta Sangha Sajayate. And one, in this is real liberation from the bondage of the material world. And then he gives a nice summary here, which is repeated, I think, in the 11th canto, this verse. Vidyate Vidiha Grantish. So within the heart, within the consciousness, we have so many ropes, so many knots that tie us to this world. These are called riddhiya granti. They need to be untied, or better, cut, like the Gordian knot. You know, one good cut, you get rid of all of them. So here it says, vidyate riddhiya grantish. All of these knots are cut by this process of hearing and chanting and advancing to this stage. Chidyante sarva sankshaya. All of one's doubts are destroyed. Where is there any doubt if you have realized knowledge of Krishna? In your heart and externally. In other words, this is as sure as anything we can know. So your doubts are destroyed. And karma, chiyanti chasi karmani. There are no even residual elements of karma left. You're free. You're liberated. And drishta evatmanishude really means you see the Lord in the heart, internally and externally. That was mentioned a few verses back. So what a wonderful goal. And this is what Srila Prabhupada was meditating on as he was on the threshold of actually setting foot in America. It was nothing less than, you know, realization of God in the fullest sense that he was coming to give. And this is the whole message of Bhagavatam. Why was it that Vyasadeva was dissatisfied after writing all these other Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads? Still, it was something missing, you know? Because all of those others were more or less like bridge preaching, you know, the bridge preaching where you're going to water down a little bit so that you can attract, you know. He said, well, the people, they'll never just accept pure bhakti, so better give him, you know, go to the heavenly planets. But you have to follow the Vedas. And in the meanwhile, you'll chant Om, and you'll be Vishnu in there, and that way they'll get purified gradually. But Narada said, no, it won't work. They'll simply disregard the part of the restriction and emphasize the part of sense gratification. And that's what was happening. So Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied, and Narada said, you meditate, you have the power, you realize Krishna, his lila, and the relationship with the material energy and everything, and then you write a book that wholly and solely deals with Bhagavan and the Bhakta and the Bhakti. In other words, Lord Krishna and all his incarnations, the process of devotional service, and accounts of the great devotees throughout history who have served Krishna. That will be your, you know, opus magnus, your great creation that will really do benefit for people. And that is what the Bhagavatam is all about. And Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of his spiritual master, all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose mission was to teach the message of Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, taught nothing less than pure devotion. Now, when he came to America, you know, as we know the great story, the history, is that he didn't get much purchase right away. In other words, he couldn't find anybody to really take it up. He was kind of wandering around New York for 6-8 months. And he was advised. I met one of the people, the Uptown Swamis, who were advised Prabhupada to give up this Dodi Kirta and don't emphasize the regular principles. They can't take it. His name was Nikalananda. He was with the Ramakrishna Mission. By the time I met him, he had had a stroke. But he was still around. And they had already had some experience. They came before Prabhupada, and they found that in order to get a following, they had to preach something, you know, vague. And of course, they weren't bhaktas anyway. That's another point. But they thought that Prabhupada was in the same category, that he wanted to, you know, get a lot of followers, and therefore he had to accommodate. Prabhupada wasn't into accommodating, because that was what Vyasadeva did. It wasn't satisfying either to him, and it didn't work, right? Prabhupada gave it as it is. If no one took, he would try as hard as he could and then go back to India. You know, his mission would be complete. It would be successful, even if not one person came. But we see that Krishna blessed him, and that after a period of struggle, he did find followers who were willing to, at least theoretically, at first, you know, do it as it is. You know, and they tried, and some succeeded, and they were, through that purity, they were able to attract others, because it's Krishna attracting. Only by being transparent and clear and pure, to whatever degree we can muster, can we attract others to this pure process. As soon as you try to water it down, then nobody's going to take up the pure process, because it's there's austerities, it involves renunciation of material things, and it requires seriousness, gravity. We have to be serious about the process. So Prabhupada was successful, and for us to be successful, we need to enter into the mood of Srila Prabhupada and to accept him as our guru. All of us are disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the most important sense. The most important sense, which is, I mean, to the degree that we want to be disciples, you look it up in the dictionary. I'm a word man, you know, I work with words, as an editor. Look up disciple in the dictionary. One of the meanings is one who follows the philosophy or teachings of someone who comes before. You can be a disciple of Heidegger. You can be a disciple of Plato, you know, by trying to follow his teachings and always speaking about him like that. So in the most important sense, if we follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings and we read them and hear them and discuss them, we are his disciples. We cannot be direct disciples. In the sense of receiving initiation, direct initiation. Those who are not his direct disciples at this point. But more importantly, we can all be disciples from here into the next 10,000 years and beyond. We can have disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And we're also disciples in the largest sense, you know, can be of all the whole parampara. This is the absolute nature of guru. Guru is one. The first, as we were reading in the morning class, the original guru is Krishna. Krishna is the guru of everybody. And those who are real gurus in the current sense must be transparent media who are giving the teachings of Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real dharma is that which is enunciated by Krishna. And anyone who is transmitting that faithfully and accurately is also a guru. Anyone who isn't is an imposter, as a guru in name only. So I kind of wanted to do a little experiment. I hope I can do this, because I didn't bring my my little iPod with all the notes on it, but I think I can do it. And that is that this hearing and chanting. Now, I wanted to, we haven't done this yet in this temple. I did it in other temples. But I wrote a little poem. You know, Krishna's standing there in his most beautiful form, Shyama Sundar, with Radha next to him. And many devotees, such as Bilva Mangal Thakur and Vallabhacharya, Sri Vallabhacharya, they've written about the sweetness of Krishna. It's all over the Bhagavatam. Krishna is sweet, especially in his Vrindavan pastimes. He covers the Aishwarya. You know, this is the same Krishna in a different form who annihilated Hiranyakashipu. Not a different personality, but he's showing a different aspect. The anger, the rage, the violence, ripping the blood, you know, Antarmali. That same personality covers all of that in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, you know, Gokula, for his dearest devotees. And what's left is his supreme sweetness, his all-attractive Kaishura form, and everything that we aspire for as Gaudiya Vaishnavas to reach. So there's so many verses, such as in the Krishna Karnamrita, where Bilvamangal says, madodam madodam vaporasya vibhor, madodam madodam vadanam madodam, madugandhim ridusmitameta daho, madodam 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 madodam. So madodam obviously means sweet. This is an easy verse to learn, by the way, since most of it is madodam. So he says, sweet, sweet. Now, if you will, just cast your eyes upon the beautiful form of Shyama Sundar and try to apply this verse. Sweet, sweet is my dear Lord's form. Sweet is still his face so fair. But his honey-scented, gentle smile is sweet beyond compare. Is there any arguments? Any debate about that? Okay. Another verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur, also about the sweetness of Krishna. This doesn't appear in the Karnamrita, but elsewhere. And he's meditating. This is in a meter that you find in the 87th chapter of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canon. And he says, Duta tapaniya duamada vilobid dukula baham vidachata tundakabada namabada namjakatam mamadishamam vidaiti muditana nabimba maho kimipikishoda dhamma madodam madodam madodam. So, madodam madodam madodam, sweetest of the sweet. So he's meditating on Krishna. Now this is typical of Bilva Mangal in the Karnamrita. He does the same thing. He's approaching me. I see him. The Karnamrita is of this form where he's longing, longing, longing for Krishna, and finally Krishna appears to him. This is the necessity. In order to get a vision of Krishna, we have to want Krishna more than anything else. That's what we're trying to cultivate in bhakti, is a desire. We're trying to, now we have so many other desires. It's dissipating our one point of desire. So it's all cultivating. So he's saying, I want to see, and then he sees. Now, know the history, he couldn't see. He was blind, right? Physically. But with his spiritual vision, he's seeing Krishna in all of these wonderful details, and finally he sees him personally with his spiritual eye. So he says, here's the Jhuta Tapaniya Duamada Vilobit Kula Baham, that the garment that Krishna is wearing, generally he's said to be wearing this golden yellow silken garment. Now I looked it up once, and Dukula is not. It is not ordinary silk that from silkworms. It is from a silky thread from a plant. So it's nice to know that. That he's wearing this silken garment that's the color of molten, highly refined molten gold. Not just ordinary gold, but highly refined. He's got a beautiful peacock ornament that he's fashioned from the finest peacock feathers. And he himself is the ornament of the whole universe. There's a little play on words. It said, Vidachita Chandaka Abhadanam. Abhadanam means an ornament. And he himself is Abhadanam Jagatam. He's the ornament of the universe. Vidachita Chandaka Abhadanam Abhadanam Jagatam. He has come before my eyes with what? With his beautiful, joyful, moon-like face. This is what he says. This adolescent aspect of Krishna that I'm seeing is sweet, sweet, sweet. Mararam, mararam, mararam. So this is how the great acharyas have given us this meditation on Krishna. So now I want to try something. I don't know if it's going to work since I didn't bring my thing. I think I have this memorized pretty good. So we're going to chant together a poem about Krishna, about Krishna's sweetness. If you join me in this. This was inspired by Madhura Ashtaka and Ashtaka by Vallabhacharya, which was along these lines of Bilva Mangal. Madhurang Nayanam Madhurang Vadanam Madhurang Adhurang Madhuradipate Dakilam Madhurang. There's eight of those verses where he calls Krishna the emperor of sweetness. And he describes his lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his smile is sweet, everything about Krishna is sweet. And it only works because it's Krishna. If you do this about anyone else, it becomes very trite. Because who can be sweet in everything? Who can have his eyes sweet and everything? You know, somebody may have a nice smile, but he's too tall, you know, or whatever. So, but this is everything about Krishna is sweet, so it works. So the way this works is we're going to sing a little bit, and in between the verses, we'll chant Hare Krishna. And the idea is to meditate on Shyama Sundar and see if you can, you know, become absorbed. That's what Bhagavatam is all about. So it starts out, and I'll just give me a note. The usual note. These are, right? Okay. And we need a drummer. Not that, no. Just the mridanga, please. Anyone want to play mridanga? Just keep a beat. All the, you can do? Okay. And a kartalist? Because I got to concentrate on what we're saying. Okay, someone can keep the beat? Okay. You'll see how it goes. Now, this second person means unto you, Krishna. We're saying to you, oh. Your lips are sweet. Now, the idea is I'll do one line, and you can repeat. And then after one verse, we'll do Hare Krishna. You'll see how it goes. Your lotus feet and hands are sweet. Your lotus feet. Your waist and lotus navel sweet. Your threefold bending pose is sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Your lips are sweet, your smile is sweet. Your lotus eyes and face are sweet. Your heart is sweet, your name is sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your jaunty peacock plume is sweet, jaunty peacock. Your forest flower garland sweet. Your bluish black complexion sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Your jeweled ornaments are sweet jewels. Your silken yellow garments sweet. Your flute and horn and staff are sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. O King of Sweet, sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Your splendid golden belt is sweet. Your brilliant yellow tilak sweet. Your gunja berry necklace sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Your crawling in your yard is sweet. Your being dragged by calves is sweet. The elder gopi's laughter sweet. Elder. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. The elder gopi's plaints are sweet. The elder gopi's plaints. Your feigning innocence is sweet. Your melting all their hearts is sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The claim you'd eaten earth is sweet. The claim you'd eaten, your opening your mouth is sweet. Your shoulder scolding you is sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Your butter thievery is sweet. Your running from your mother sweet. Her binding you with ropes is sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your cows and cowherd friends are sweet. Your giddy Govardhan is sweet. Your dear Yamuna River sweet, na river sweet, oh King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bom 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 Krishna. Your forest wanderings are sweet. Your forest wanderings are sweet. Your foot dust and your gait is sweet. You're dancing and you're singing sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bo, Hare Rama. Your playful pranks and jokes are sweet, playful pranks. Your generosity is sweet. Your love for your companion, sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your mimicry of birds is sweet. Your mimicry. Your swinging from a bough is sweet. Your daily forest picnic sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your nap beneath the tree is sweet. Your friend's massage and songs are sweet. Friend's massage. Your soft and fragrant limbs are sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your moonlit autumn night is sweet. The forest heady, fragrant sweet, heady. Your flute song for the gopi sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The gopis joining you is sweet. You're testing their devotion, sweet. Their song of full submission, sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your pastimes with the girls are sweet, pastimes. And their pride at being with you is sweet. Your disappearance bittersweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your secret rendezvous is sweet. Your dalliance with Radha sweet. Her love for you supremely sweet. Supremely sweet. Oh, King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The gopi search for you is sweet. They're acting out your pastime, sweet. They're moving song of longing, sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your coming back to them is sweet. Your pacifying words are sweet. Your blessed Rasa dance is sweet. Your blessed Rasa dance is sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your lips are sweet, your smile is sweet. Your lotus face and eyes are sweet. Your heart is sweet, your name is sweet. O King of Sweet, you're sweet complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. My humble hymn is no great feat, yet still I pray, O King of Sweet, that with your favor it may meet, so you'll reveal your lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara,
Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara.
Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara. Go Premanandi. Any questions or comments? What is it?
Song is very sweet.
It's very sweet. Okay, great. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Adjourn to Prasada. Hare Hare.